Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Are the trade winds blowing from west into Nashville? That is the big question for the Tennessee Titans as the NFL draft draws ever nearer. Reports of a big move, at least one that General Manager Rand Carthen is pursuing, if not exactly finalizing at this point. It would be one that would answer some questions that we had last week in this spot, and we will look into that. We also need to let you know that one thing that is coming clearer all the time is the issue of the Tennessee Titans' new stadium. The Metropolitan Sports Authority signed off this week and gave its final approval. Metro Council met well into the night Tuesday, delayed any action there. We'll have another meeting about it, a special meeting in the coming days, and then it'll take one more reading and vote after that by the end of the month. And that deal should be done, barring any unexpected circumstances. So the future is future of the stadium almost a done deal. The future of the quarterback position, a lot of possibilities right now, and that will be the focus of this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, good day, sir.
Good day, David. John, how you guys doing this evening?
I am doing great. John being, of course, John Glennon. John, how are you?
I am well. I hope you guys are too.
Doing wonderful. And I am David Beauclair, and I need to remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. And BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting, from pro and college basketball, though college basketball is done at this point, to the UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And we start, as we mentioned, looking at the draft. There are numerous reports that the Titans are seriously in discussions with the Arizona Cardinals about the number 3 overall pick in the draft, which would require a big move up from number 11, and could involve potentially quarterbacks changing teams or the Titans getting up to draft a quarterback. A lot of possibilities here. So John, let's start with you. Are the Titans that interested in one of these young quarterbacks that they need to get up to number 3, you think?
Yeah, that's kind of the key question. And, you know, what intrigues me is are the Titans, is the thought in potentially moving up to number 3, is that something they would do before the draft? And if they did, you know, that tells me that they are very interested in either one or both of Anthony Richardson and or Will Levis, because certainly the heavy speculation is that Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are going to go 1 and 2. On the other hand, if the Titans hold on and don't make this potential trade until the day of the draft, when the picks start getting made, you know, and if they find out after those first two picks that, hey, one of those two quarterbacks, one of the top two quarterbacks is still available, maybe that's when they make a trade. And, you know, something that a foundation might already have been laid at that point. Say, hey, look, Arizona Cardinals, here's the deal. If Stroud or Young is still available, we want to move up to number 3 and maybe get an idea of what might be required to do so. But yeah, so that to me is the key question is whether this, you know, the potential move up to number 3, would you do it even if the top two guys are gone? And then I think at that point, and I'm sure we can continue to debate this here, is it a case whether you like Anthony Richardson or whether you like Will Levis more at that spot? Because you have to assume if they're moving up to number 3 and the top two guys are gone, it's for a quarterback.
Denard, when you see these reports that the Titans want to get to number 3, does that automatically tell you that they're looking at a quarterback, or could they be eyeing somebody else at that spot?
Well, you know what? Only you're gonna do that for a quarterback, but this is a general manager along with his time with John Lynch when he's at San Francisco, where they with 2021 they were 12th and they moved up to 3. And they end up getting Trey Lance. So it wouldn't surprise me if they say, listen, you know, we got 4 studs. We know that C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson. Well, somebody's going to be there at number 3. So I would do it before. If you know what you want, and if you're sold on Will Levis being there or Bryce Young, because I'm anticipating one of those two being there at that 3 spot, then, yeah, go ahead and do it. Go ahead, because you look at David, just take a look. You got a 34-year-old quarterback next year. He's in the final year of his contract. So wouldn't it make sense to go ahead? You're not sold on Malik Willis as the future. So go ahead and make this move. And like they always say, the future starts with the draft. Go ahead and start your future by just draft. Go ahead and trade up and make the pick. Do the, you know, make that move.
But let's say this, that, you know, some of the reporting includes the idea that any deal would include a swap of young quarterbacks, with Trey Lance coming to the Titans and Malik Willis going to the 49ers. You know, Trey Lance obviously was drafted when Rand Carthen was part of the 49ers front office. He obviously is not going into the offseason as the number one quarterback for the 49ers. You know, their executives are on the record as saying that Brock Purdy is, you know, earned the right last year to do that. You know, we've talked at length about what Malik Willis went through in Tennessee. I mean, it's it's a small body of work. It's a relatively short time for both of these guys, but an argument can be made that that both those guys could benefit from a fresh start, and certainly you would think a Trey Lance would benefit from going to a team where the general manager knows him, has a relationship with him, is clearly a fan of him because he was involved in drafting him. So I'll go back to you, John. If Trey Lance ends up in Tennessee as part of that deal, what do you think the Titans are thinking then? Is it simply to get in front of the Indianapolis Colts, who are at number four, and create a chance to stick it to a division rival by then maybe trading out of number three to let somebody else jump the Colts? Could that be it?
I guess it's always possible. I'm not sure. I've certainly, like you said, that there is that rumor certainly has circulated a little bit too about, Trey Lance coming here because of course, the familiarity with Rand Carthen. But my question is this: as much as the 49ers liked Brock Purdy and as great a season he had as a rookie, he was also hurt, obviously in the playoff game and required surgery, I believe, on the elbow, if I'm recalling correctly. And, the reports on when he is going to be back from that surgery have differed as well. And some of the reports say, he could miss, almost the entire offseason at that. So if you're the 49ers, are you really willing to part with Trey Lance when Brock Purdy, may miss an entire offseason, when Brock Purdy has only played, half of 1 year? And I know the 49ers signed Sam Darnold as well, so you factor that in there too. But I'm not sure I see that happening from San Francisco at that point with the Brock Purdy injury situation. So I think it's more of a question of whether the Titans are just going to move up and grab their guy who they want, if indeed they love either Levis or Richardson enough to move up to number three, assuming that both the top guys are gone at number two. And when I look at that, I see, to me, just some of the initial characteristics. I see, Anthony Richardson, unbelievable, specimen, cannon arm, incredible running, a little less polished and a little bit more of a work in progress, but with an incredibly high ceiling, I think, as well. And then you look at Levis, and there's some inconsistencies there too. He had the really good year, by all accounts, in 2021. Things slumped a little bit in 2022. He had an injury situation. The personnel around him wasn't as good. His coordinator left, his offensive coordinator. So I think still, all that said, I think Levis gives you a better chance. There's a higher floor, maybe less of a ceiling with Will Levis. It's kind of the way I read it. And if you want to take more of a chance, Anthony Richardson, maybe the next Cam Newton. And, that's got to have some general managers, including potentially Rand Carthen, salivating just a little bit.
Richardson, with only 1 year as a starter, 54% completion percentage. There's some concern there. Denard, if you get to number three, how big a risk can you take at that spot? By all accounts, neither Will Levis nor Anthony Richardson are a slam dunk in the NFL. Is in your mind, is that too big a risk to take there, either one of them?
Well, you can ask New York when they took Sam Darnold out of USC, was it number three or four spot? It'll set your franchise back years. Not to mention, let's see, Cleveland took Baker Mayfield. It was in 2018, the number one draft pick in 2018.
Correct.
Now, that's a team right now. They're on their third quarterback. You got Deshaun Watson, and Baker Mayfield now is the quarterback at Tampa Bay, and they struggled last year in Cleveland. So, listen, David, if you miss getting the right guy, and making sure that guy is your guy, not just for now, but the future, And if you mess that pick up, guess what? It'll set your organization back for years. And are you sold on Anthony Richardson? Let's just say Levis and Richardson are there. Which one are you sold on? Which one do you think can come in right away and contribute to this team? Which one do you think right now can come up and possibly win that backup position? Are you sold that this is the future of your team? And I'm going to tell you something. There are some good quarterbacks that we haven't talked about. I mean, there's a cat that is a monster down at the University of Tennessee. We talked about last week, Hendon Hooker, 6'3". I mean, look at the arm. Look at Tennessee's season last year. A lot of that was predicated on his play. What about Dorian Thompson-Robinson out of UCLA? We haven't talked nothing about these guys, and these usually are the ones that end up having a great career. So if you're Tennessee, it is a risk, but is it a risk that you are willing to take?
It's a it's a great question, and you know that's why I go back to, does, if you get to number three, does it have to be a quarterback there? You know, with quarterbacks almost certainly going 1, 2, and 4, are you getting your pick of the litter otherwise there, and beefing up your defensive line further, or getting the number one offensive lineman, whoever you think that is, or getting a true shutdown cornerback if you think that's a possibility. I'll say this though, I was looking at this is interesting to me. I was looking at one of these draft pick value charts in terms of how you would make one of these moves and what it's worth to get from 11 to 3. There's a difference in the chart I was looking at of 950 points. Outside of the Titans' number one pick, you know, they only have 767.8 points left in rounds 2 through 7. So, you don't have enough draft capital in this whole draft just to make that move by itself. So something else has to be included, whether it's future draft picks, whether it's player, you go back to John, you mentioned Brock Purdy's coming off Tommy John surgery, and will he be available for the start of training camp or not? Does that mean, does Malik Willis automatically have to go to the 49ers? Whether Trey Lance comes back or not, or something like that, because the 49ers made a similar deal to get Trey Lance, and they had to give up a fair amount to get there. So what do you think? If what do you think the Titans have to give up to make this move, if that's what they're going to do?
Well, Denard referenced this earlier, when Rand Carthen was in San Francisco, and he was not the general manager, but again, the 49ers moved up in 2021. They moved from 12 to 3 to pick up Trey Lance. And what they gave up that year, a very similar move, 12 to 3 versus what the Titans move would be here, 11 to 3. They gave up, not only did they flip those spots, but they gave up 2 future first round picks and a third round pick. All to go up and make Trey Lance that pick. That's some pretty steep value to give up without question. So to me, the only reason in my mind that you give up that kind of value is if you're getting a quarterback, if you've fallen in love with a quarterback, a guy you think is your franchise guy for the future, because I don't necessarily see, any of the other talents, be it an incredible left tackle, be it an incredible wide receiver. I don't see any of those guys head and shoulder above the crowd so much that they would merit, that they would be worth giving up, potentially 2 first round picks and more in order to move that. In order to give up all that, it has to be a franchise quarterback, in my opinion.
And let's say this, the Titans in their in the Titans history, and going back to just before, we'll include here a player who has played in the Titans era. There's not a lot of history of this franchise moving up in the first round to get somebody, but it is a good history. In 1993, they went up from 19 to 13 to draft Brad Hopkins. In 1996, they went up from 17 to 14 after having dropped back to get a guy by the name of Eddie George. That one worked out pretty well, too. In 2016, of course, John Robinson's first year, he traded from 1 back to 15 and then jumped back up to 8 to draft Jack Conklin, which worked out well. And in 2018, he moved up 3 spots from 25 to 22 to draft Rashawn Evans, who, you know, you can debate whether he lived up to expectations, but if he fell short, he certainly didn't fall woefully short. He was a guy who was a contributor, had some really good moments for this team over his 4 seasons there. So, you know, Denard, we'll go back to you. I want to get your opinions of Trey Lance. You know, this is a guy who played at North Dakota State, only played one full season there, had one game his second season, which would be 2020 before they shut the program down there. But one thing to note is in his one full season as a starter, 28 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Do you remember talking about this guy, looking at this guy coming out in 2021 and how is he a prospect? What do you think his prospects are as compared to, say, a Malik Willis at this point?
Well, you know, Trey Lance is a stud. You know, let's not forget, but let me just kind of reference when you was talking about when Tennessee's had a really good history in trading up for players like Brad Hopkins. Not one of these players are quarterbacks.
Good point.
So if something happens, you might end up keeping your job. But if not, especially at the quarterback position, you will lose it and it can set you back. But, you know, Trey Lance is a dynamic player. I don't think this team, of course, I hated to see him get hurt last year with that ankle injury. And if I'm San Francisco, I'm thankful that Jimmy Garoppolo has very thin skin. The fact that he will be able to sit there and just relinquish his or give up his quarterback position in favor of your 2021 first round draft pick. But let me just go back, David. Trey Lance had a very successful campaign down at North Dakota State, but you know who was blocking for him on a lot of those long runs that he made down in North Dakota State?
Dylan Raidens.
Raidens, there you go. Dylan Raidens. Yeah. So if I'm Trey Lance right now, I don't have a Dylan Raidens. And you know what? If I'm coming to Tennessee, if they can make that trade and reunite those two, man, it can spark something very special because Trey Lance, he has the ability to be a great player. He has all of the physical attributes. He can make all of the throws. If not, then he wouldn't have been a high draft pick in 2021. They wouldn't have made that move in San Francisco. He is an elite player. But again, he was injured last year, and that's the key. And are you sold on that trade? Would you trade up to bring a player that's coming off a serious ankle injury?
Bingo. I agree with you right there, Denard, because there we have certainly seen in this offseason, you know, Mike Vrabel's comments, remember at the end of last season, making such an emphasis on, you know, not bringing in guys with injury history and so forth. And you know, I know Trey Lance has only been in the league for a couple of years, but it's been more than one injury. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been a few nagging things that have kept him off the field from time to time. And is that really the guy that Mike Vrabel, who would, you know, almost certainly play at least a part in some of these trade talks and decisions and so forth? Is that really the guy that Mike Vrabel is going to want as his potential, you know, future franchise guy? Given his track record and what he said at injury about injury and all the problem the injuries have given the Titans the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean he's injured a finger in his first preseason with San Francisco. He's had a sprained knee. He's had the broken ankle. We saw at least, I guess if nothing else, he and Ryan Tannehill could commiserate about their ankle injuries.
Come on.
I mean,
but would Ryan Tannehill mentor him through the injury process?
Great question. That's a great point. I mean, do you want two quarterbacks coming coming out of the training room, especially one who missed as much time as Lance did last year. You make an interesting point, though, about reuniting Lance and Raiden's Denard, because you wonder if that would happen. Like, I've never spoken to Trey Lance. I've never seen him around teammates or anything. I have no idea. But my sense is, you know, he's probably one of those guys who's a good leader and that sort of thing. And would his presence give a little shot of confidence to Dylan Raiden's too, and help him and relax Raiden's a little bit? I don't know if those sorts of things mean anything, but you know, I would think for as big a change as it is going from North Dakota State in the FCS to the NFL, you know, a little familiar face and somebody you can talk about, hey, you know, I know how good you are. I've seen you do this, that, the other thing. You know, that's probably worth a little something. If that's not why you're going to make the trade, but it might be a nice little side benefit if it can happen. I mentioned
maybe they can bring in Christian Watson too to make everybody feel a little bit more comfortable. Yeah, that's exactly. State guy.
Well, I'm trying to think who it was. I know that one of the offensive linemen they added late in the year was a teammate, and they had the outside linebacker early in the year who ended up with the Chargers playing the special teams guy there. He was they did run a couple North Dakota State guys through, Tennessee did last season, and if either one of those guys could have helped, it certainly didn't for Raiden's, but he's always interesting right now, and I'm sure we will talk about him more as we get into workouts in here, which will be starting within the next couple of weeks. But mentioned the value of the Titans draft picks. They have six picks overall, and we'll start with you, John. I guess if you were to sort of rank them in terms of priorities, how would you distribute those picks in terms of positions?
Yeah, well, I guess hypothetically, I'll do this, you know, saying that they don't make that trade and that they don't go for the quarterback. So if they stay where they are at 11 and one of those quarterbacks isn't available, I can't get past number one priority still being left tackle. And I know they signed Andre Dillard, and I know that they're going to give him a shot, certainly at playing left tackle, and there's a lot of potential and a lot of upside, but it's not proven yet. I think you can't go wrong, you know, with a couple of these big studs, whether that's, you know, Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones, a couple of those guys, Peter Skoronski. That to me, you can have some great receivers, you might have a great quarterback, but if the offensive line stinks, you're still not going to get very much production. So that's my number one priority. Number two, I think, has to be wide receiver. The cupboard is very bare in terms of big play guys outside of Treylon Burks. And we know that his you know, rookie season showed flash, but couldn't stay on the field, enough either, and had the conditioning issues too. So that has to be a huge priority, you know, maybe one, maybe two wide receivers. Tight end, you know, Chig looks like he's going to be a really good one. You got a blocker now and Trevor Wesco or Trevin Wesco. But I still think you need kind of a combo guy there at tight end. Fourth, I go, you know, I maybe left guard. If that position isn't filled by Dillard, if you don't get a left tackle and move Dillard inside the left guard, and assuming, you know, Aaron Brewer's a center, assuming Brunskill is on the right side, and we know Dylan Raiden's has still got a ways to go to come back from the ACL, I still think left guard, I still think you got to get somebody to fill that spot. Safety, you know, we assume Byron Hooker are the starting tandem, but depth at safety, right now the two biggest backups at safety, unless you convert a corner, are Josh Thompson and Mike Brown, who I'm not sure I could tell you too much about, aside that they played a lot of special teams early in their career. And, you know, maybe finally, well, maybe it's a corner still. I know you signed Murphy Bunting, but you can't get enough corners given the question marks injury-wise with these guys. Or maybe it's a D-line guy You know, if you think Key is going to be more on the edge, maybe another body in there. You lost DeMarcus Walker. You know, maybe somebody to fill in there.
Denard, same question for you. As you look at it, at least positionally speaking, what do you think is the ideal use of these picks for the Titans in this draft right now?
David, I was thinking about this. You can go out and you can get Bryce Young, you can get Will Levis, but if you don't have no one to throw it to, then what are you going to do? And when you look at the perimeter game, I mean, let's just take a look. Treylon Burks is going into his second year. Kyle Phillips in his second year. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that's your veteran wide receiver going into his fifth year. He's 26 years old. He's been your most consistent receiver over the last few years. And then you're talking about Racy McMath. He's had some injuries, and that's kind of why he's been in and out of the lineup. So if I'm at that pick 11, you haven't made a big splash in free agency as far as bringing someone in. There's no Odell Beckham. And then, you know, there's no Shark. There's no one. So why not, if you're at the 11th spot, address that by getting a big receiver like Quentin Johnson, 6'4" out of TCU. I'm anticipating him being there at that 11th spot. You're talking about the second round. Again, I'm not, you know, with your offensive line, you signed the big man Dillard from Philly. You address some of the needs, but again, you need depth in this league, because we saw last year with the line was decimated by injuries. So what if Skowronski there is a second round? I don't know. But again, you have to address the tackle position on both sides. And then at the third pick, again, at that 72 pick in the third round, you got to get a defensive back. We don't know the situation with KB, the Marshall. I wonder what they're going to do as far as letting him walk or trade. And I hate to see him leave Nashville, so you're going to have to address that if that happens. But what about a cornerback? You got two young quarterback, Christian Fulton. He's been injured the last few years. He hasn't been consistent on the field. When he's in there, he's consistent. But, again, you just don't know when he's going to be in the lineup. You got to address that need. Caleb Farley has struggled. So, again, what about a corner in the third round? And then you got that fifth round pick at 147, a guard or a tackle. You need some offensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've gone back and forth on number 11, whether you take a wide receiver or a tackle there. And, you know, Quentin Johnson, I agree with you. I mean, like, he's a guy who just screams Titans wide receiver with his size, his physicality, his ability to run after the catch, you know, those sorts of things. But I have seen some wildly different draft reports on him. And I've seen some that focus on a problem with drops, that he, you know, dropped 16% of the balls that came his way last year. And there's some sense that he could be available in the second round. There are some good tackles that will also be available in the second round. You think about, you know, a guy like Michael Roofs, for example, in the Titans' history, who they got early in the second round and had a long, great career there, replacing Brad Hopkins, who we mentioned earlier. I think though, like, I'm going to go back to 2014, and Ken Wisenhunt was not the Titans coach for long, and he didn't do a lot well, but I remember when they drafted Taylor Lewan, oh, by the way, at number 11 that year, Ken Wisenhunt said, "You don't anticipate being up this high in the draft very often. You have to take one of these types of guys when you have the opportunity." So I think that's exactly what they're going to do. If they stay at number 11, I think it's Skowronski or Paris Johnson. Hope one or both of those guys is there, and then make your pick, and then see who the wide receivers fall into the second round. This is the first year in the last several where there's not a huge buzz about the wide receivers, and I think there's an opportunity there that to get somebody in the second round. And of course, you know, AJ Brown, of course, was a second round pick. That was a pretty good one there. So I think you can, but it has to be one of the first two at wide receiver, given the state of that position and given how nothing has been added of note this offseason. I'm a big believer too, in that, you know, the idea that you can never have enough cornerbacks, and you know, John Robinson, made a habit of taking those guys in the early within the first 2 days. Christian Fulton was a second round pick in 2020. Caleb Farley, first round pick in 2021. Roger McCreary, in a second round pick last year. So it certainly wouldn't be. I don't think it would be a mistake to take another guy there. And then day three, I'm taking another wide receiver. I'm taking a guard and see what's left on the last pick, I guess. But we should note too, you guys both referenced Kevin Byard and whatever degree of uncertainty there is about him. And Rand Carthen addressed the situation a little bit with Jim Wyatt on the team's website, and a lot of folks breathed a sigh of relief when Rand Carthen told Jim Wyatt, Byard's people have not asked for a release. Well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean that the Titans won't release him or aren't considering releasing him if they can't, if they really think they need to renegotiate that salary and Byard won't. So I do think I agree with you guys that this is still a situation that is not resolved and might not be resolved until sometime after the draft when the trades are made and the draft pool is set and how much money do you need to sign all these guys and whatnot. That could come down to that sort of issue too. It might be just a situation where right now everybody's saying, well, we don't have to do anything right now. Let's just all take a breath and we'll think about it. So we'll yeah, John.
Okay. No, I was just going to ask. To me, tight end is a pretty significant need. I like Chig, and I know they got their blocker guy in there, but I don't think either of you guys mentioned tight end. You guys are pretty satisfied with the combination at this point, or how do you feel on tight end?
I think you can find tight ends. I think if you need a veteran tight end, you can add one pretty easily in free agency. And although this is supposedly one of the better tight end groups that there has been in recent years, and maybe you get a little creative if a third or fourth round pick. I mean, you look at what you got in Okonkwo as a fourth round pick. You get another guy like him. Only with a guy as talented as him, but maybe with a different sort of skill set. They complement each other. That could get exciting, to be sure.
Who's out there? I mean, they let Austin Hooper walk in free agency. He's in Las Vegas now, so that's the key. And John, you kind of alluded to this, is that Austin Hooper gives you a different dimension rather than Chig. Chig, you can line up all, in the backfield, that fullback. We saw that. You can line him up in the slots. But you need that true tight end like Austin last year that can line up, that two receiver slot set, and he can work one-on-one against the safeties much bigger. So who are you going to bring in to kind of where you've lost depth at that position, at the tight end position?
It seems like there's tight ends out there every year. That's not a position that teams are falling over themselves to make additions in free agency. I think when you get to the post draft wave of signings, you can find somebody. I mean, Okonkwo is going to be your guy in the pass game. Like you're not looking to replace Austin Hooper's receptions. I think Okonkwo is going to absorb the bulk of those in addition to what he did last year. I don't think you're sweating that right now. I really don't.
Yeah, but I think if you're a team that's looking skimpy on wide receivers as the Titans are now, you could also really benefit by adding one of these excellent tight ends in the group as well. That makes up some of the potential loss at the wide receiver position.
And it gives Ryan Tannehill another option for getting the ball out of his hands quickly behind an offensive line that's going to be completely rebuilt. Could be something very important early in the year. And we will see how this all plays out. We will see what the next week brings and come back next week to talk to you again. For now, for John Glennon, for Denard Walker, I am David Beauclair. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast.
Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money.